You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Reverend Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
We invite your attention to a passage of scripture that you'll find in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. I want to begin reading at verse 13, and for your own personal understanding, you should read the entire 16th chapter, but at verse 13, you'll find these words. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or others of the prophets, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want to talk about the church that Jesus built. Yes, sir. The church that Jesus built. About 35 years ago, in my early pastoral ministry, I was working in the automobile factory, and for 14 years I worked and I pastored the church during the same time. I prayed often for God to remove me from that automobile factory and let me pastor full time like some of my friends, but the Lord told me, "You are pastoring full time. Amen. You're just a working pastor." Well, I knew that the Lord knew what I was going through. Many days when I had a funeral, I'd have to leave work and take my suit to the church with me, change clothes, do the funeral, go to the cemetery, and come back and put my work clothes back on and go back to the factory. Amen. Because my family needed to eat. Amen. Well, back in those days, Macedonia couldn't pay me what they pay me now. Amen. And I should throw this in there. Y'all still don't pay me enough. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Amen. Amen. But as it was, I understand. You know, and I found out that God don't answer every prayer you pray just because you prayed it. And that's one of the prayers he did not answer for me. And I was going to school at night, and I was trying to raise a family, and I'm working and everything. And for 14 years, I did that. I labored. But I understand that God was building my character up and by allowing me to go through some things. And sometimes we only had one car. My wife would have to drop me off to work, then go back home, take the kids to school, then she had to go to work, and we had a lot of different things, but I wouldn't trade anything for that. Because God was building character. He wanted to have a working pastor. But it was during one of those days when we were having prayer meeting on Wednesdays, and I was conducting the prayer meetings and each Wednesday, and I would sit in front so I could see who come in the church door, amen, while we took turns praying and singing those old songs, those old good hymns that I love, amen. And we were having a good time over there at 5080 Belmont, and there's some precious memories over there at 5080 Belmont, when it seemed like I didn't have the time that I have now, but God blessed me during that time. And we had a church that was really alive and loved the Lord. It was during the time that the pastor's aide, they asked me if I would have a picture taken of myself, and I did, and I posed. You know, I had my hair laid out, and I had the big afro back then. Amen. It was all black then, too. Amen. And I took a picture. I thought it was a pretty handsome picture, And it's one of them kind of pictures, when you look at it, the eyes follow you all over the room. It was one of them kind of pictures. And they blew it up and they put it in a big frame and put it on the wall back of the church, the back of the choir stand. So everybody that came in there knew who the pastor was. And I liked it, amen. And it was during one of those prayer meeting sessions that we had an elderly lady who had just moved into the neighborhood. And she came to our prayer meeting, and I conducted the prayer meeting. And afterwards, she came up to me, and she looked up at that picture. Then she looked at me, and I want to tell you now, I had been working 10 hours that day. And I had my work clothes on, and I was just shoved. The fro wasn't right like it should be. But I was there, and she looked at the picture, then she looked at me, and she said, "Are you the pastor?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm the pastor." Then she looked back at the picture, then she looked at me again, and she said, "Is that your picture?" And knowing it back there, I said, "Yes, ma'am, that's my picture." And then she looked back at the picture, then she looked at me, and she said, "You sure that's you?" I said, "Ma'am, that's my picture." Then she looked back at the picture, then I turned around and looked at the picture. Then we looked at each other. And then she said something I'll never forget, and it was over 35 years ago that she said that. She said, "Forgive me, Reverend, but you sure don't look like your picture." And the fact that she prefaced, "You don't look like your picture," with "Forgive me, Reverend," was an indication that I didn't look as good as my picture looked. But I never forgot that. As a matter of fact, that picture came down the next day. Amen. And as I think about it, that whole experience plays a kind of melody on the memory of my mind. And I'm thinking about the fact that I didn't look like my picture. Amen. Then I look around the church today. And I read the book of Acts. And I read how the church looked in the book of Acts and how they went from house to house in prayer and had all things in common, how they worshiped the Lord, how every man had all things in common, how they prayed together. And when they prayed, the place that they were prayed in was shaken by the power of the Holy Spirit. I look at the Bible's portrait of the church, and I look at the church today, and I have to say, forgive me, y'all, but we sure don't look like our picture. Something has happened, and the church doesn't look like the church that Jesus built. When I see some of the begging going on in the church, when I see the politics going on in the church, when I see the sheep running the church instead of the shepherd running the church, it makes me wonder, is this the church that Jesus built? When we see the church bus down by the casinos, oh yeah, not ours, but other church buses, amen. When I see pastors don't want to even preach the gospel no more, don't want to even talk about the Lord Jesus, makes me wonder what happened to the church that Jesus built. And it's my heart's desire to pastor the church that Jesus built, and that we should look like our picture. You see, what's happening today is there is a pursuit of happiness which has overcome the pursuit of holiness. And it seemed like we forgot all about discipleship and stewardship and worship and fellowship and leadership. And it seemed like our ship is a sinking ship. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. So Jesus was with his disciples, and they had been going about doing ministry, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaiming the kingdom of God was at hand. And now they're reflecting in a place called Caesarea Philippi. It's at the south foot of Mount Hermon on a broad terrace overlooking the Gila Plain. Behind the mountain range rises in rugged, bold peaks. There's a wooded area capped with snow, groves of evergreens, oaks, olive, hawthorn, and myrtle trees. Beautiful landscape, carpeted with green grass, lies at a peaceful and serene place called Caesarea Philippi. It's a place of relaxation, a place of comfort, a place where weary travelers could recline and rest, a fitting place for the Lord to reflect in a peaceful atmosphere and ponder over what the ministry had been doing. Now, Jesus knew all things because he's God all by himself. But he wanted to see if his disciples were on board with him and what he had seen. So it was the most appropriate place, and Jesus wanted to know about the impact of the ministry, not how much it had on the people, but how much has it had on his disciples, those that followed him. Because as you remember, when he walked on water, only Peter got out the boat. The rest of them, we ain't getting out there. So now in this serene atmosphere, Jesus says to his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He called himself the Son of Man. He said, "Who do they say I am?" And they responded quickly and said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist." Jesus probably said, "That's good," even though John the Baptist had been dead by this time. "Some say thou art Elias or Elijah. Some say that thou art Jeremiah, one of the other prophets." And these are all flattering remarks for them to make. And he perhaps said, "That's good, but who do you say I am?" And brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what other people say about Jesus and who they say he is, but the question is to you, who is Jesus? What is he to you? I know what Jehovah's Witnesses mean and what they think he is and who they say he is. I know what the Seventh-day Adventists say. I know what several other religious organizations say about who Jesus is, but who is he to you? Who is he to you? The Mormons say that he's the brother of Satan. That's not true, but who is he to you? And so the question was now pointed at the disciples, and no doubt they were all in a huddle and said, "I don't know how to answer this. We've been with him. What does he want us to say?" And Peter pops up, and he always pops up, and sometimes at the wrong time, but Peter pops up, and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the anointed of God, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus began to pronounce blessings upon Peter because Peter got it right. But Jesus said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," and he would call him Peter. He said, "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." In other words, you didn't get this from hanging around with the boys. You didn't get this from the crowds we have blessed. You didn't get this from the people around us. God revealed this to you. And brothers and sisters, you'll never know who Jesus is until the Father reveals him to you. You can sit in the church all your life and still don't know who Jesus is. You can be baptized, you can tithe, you can give an offering, you can be on the usher board, sing in the choir, and still don't know who Jesus is until heaven reveals who he is. And when heaven reveals who he is, when the Father reveals who he is, a change has to come over your life. A change has to take place in you. You cannot be the same knowing who Jesus is. You just can't. You just can't. You see, you can hang around the church, but that ain't being in the church. No. Until you've been born again, you'll not know who he is and what he can do. So it was that they told him, he said, my Father in heaven revealed this to you. And I said to you, thou art Peter, which means rock. He says, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, which means Satan and all of hell cannot prevail against what I plan to do. And he said, I will build. In other words, it's future tense. I'm going to build it. Nothing will prevent me from building it. Though death come, nothing will stop me from building this. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church. Jesus said, I'm going to do it. It's his church. It's not Reverend so-and-so's church. And don't ever call this Pastor Twyman church. I don't have no church. This is the Lord's church. So I'll build it. I'll build it. Only he knows the specifications. Only he knows how big it should be. Only he knows the plan to build the church. And it's a church that Jesus built. It's a church, it's a house of prayer, it's a household of faith. It's the church that the Lord built. Amen. Man has advanced in so many scientific things in his technology, but man has declined morally. We've had a surge of social progression, but a moral digression. Lately, you've seen in the news more and more politicians and news reporters and filmmakers, actors are being charged with sexual indiscretions. Amen. Amen. But it's been going on a long time. We live in a time of moral crisis. While most people are looking at the economy, are looking at employment, gas prices, and Wall Street, and et cetera, they fail to see the moral decline in our country and even in our churches. Right now, you have pastors and church members arguing and fighting over one another. Some folks scared to go to a church meeting. Amen. Amen. Folk bringing guns to church and everything. Now they want to train us how to handle in case somebody. I paid the fool come up in here with a gun. Amen. Macedonia's armed to the teeth. I should tell you that right now. Amen. Amen. We got some women got some guns up in here. Some men got. I pity the fool to come up in here and try to start something. And the problem is they ain't had no training. That's the part that scares me. That's why I got this piece of oak here. I know how to. Amen. Dexter stayed right. Right that way. Yeah. Amen. 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 I know. There's a moral problem. Divorce is up. Adultery has increased. Sexually transmitted diseases is on the rise. Unwed mother rates, birth rate is up. Millions of unwanted babies are being aborted. Sexual abuse of our children is skyrocketing. Violent crime is up. We hear every night someone got shot. Amen. Drug use is up. We have an opioid epidemic. Amen. Human trafficking is out of control in this country. Military veterans, every day they say at least 6 veterans are committing suicide every day. Suicide is an alarming rate. Even our children who are being bullied in school. I just heard the news yesterday. An 11-year-old killed herself because she was being bullied in school. We need the church. But not just any church. We need the church that Jesus built. We need our children in Sunday school. We need our children in teen council and pioneer boy and pioneer girl. We need our children learning something about Jesus. We need adults there too, amen. Let me explain. See, I'm not talking about the brick and mortar church building. You see, once you accept Christ as your Savior, the church is in you. But you need to be in the church. Did you hear what I said? You need to be in the building. Amen. You need to have an active part with the church. When you come home from church, there ought to be a melody in your voice. And and your children and your husband and wife who don't attend church, they should see something about you that's changed than when you left out that morning. You should have a glow about yourself. You should be singing some type of song in your heart saying, I've been with the Lord today. I worship him in spirit and in truth, and I'm glad about it. There ought to be some joy bells ringing down in your soul when you walk out the door. You need to have an active part. You need to participate. Christians were never meant to grow in isolation. We need the church. But we need the one that Jesus built. You see, we can't grow by ourselves in isolation. We need corporate worship. We need to come together. As I said a while ago, you could have stayed in Beauty Rest Baptist Church, but you came out here to worship together. We need to sing together. We need to pray together. We need to shout together. We need to even cry together and praise God together. We need God and we need each other. We need the church. But you got to show up to grow up. Amen. You can't forsake the assembling of ourselves, especially in these times. Amen. We need the church that Jesus built. He said it was his. It belonged to him. And not only do we need his church, we need his word in the church. And that's the problem I'm seeing in the church and why it don't look like the picture, because it seems like the word ain't in the church no more. Preachers don't want to preach the gospel anymore. They're trying to twist and turn God's word to make it say something it never said, and you can't do that. Yes, sir. God's word is God's word, and God's word does not change because God does not change. I wouldn't have a God that could change, that could look one way one day and another. See, our God cannot change. He will not change. I know people say, well, everything change. Everything don't change. God don't change. But he's not a thing, first of all. He's God all by himself. He's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I know times change. Days change. Weeks change. Months and years change. Seasons change. It goes from spring, summer, fall, winter. People change. Oh, yes, they do. Young become old, and then their mood swings. Attitudes, personality changes, amen. Medication will make you change. No medication will make you change, amen. That which once was treasure is now trash. It changed. Change can be good for many reasons, and I'm glad about some changes, because I'm glad about the transportation, because I look like a fool riding on a mule coming to church, amen. I'm glad for modern methods, but God is still God. Jesus is still Christ. He is still faithful in all of his ways. Hope does not expire or disappoint. He still loves unconditionally. He forgives sin and sinners. He still delivers. Jesus' blood still works. He still makes saints into saints. He still heals. He still hears and answers prayer. He still comforts those who need it. He still performs miracles. Yes, yes, he's still just. He's still perfect. He's still holy in all of his ways. His standard of holiness have not diminished. Yes, he's still Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's from everlasting to everlasting, and I'm glad he don't change. Our world is changing, being fashioned and shaped by Satan, and people have forsaken the old way, the former beliefs, calling them old fashioned. I know I've had some people call me old fashioned, but you need to understand I ain't old fashioned, I'm word fashioned. The word of God has fashioned me and conditioned me to be who I am. There's a difference between world fashion and word fashion. The world ain't fashioned me. Because the Bible said, be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word, the word, the word. You must read the word. The word will cleanse you. The word will change you. The word will control you. We must be driven to go forward by faith in the word, because we never shift into reverse. We never shift into neutral, because once you shift into neutral, anybody can push you around. We stay in drive going forward in the name of the Lord. It has been said that the hottest places in hell is reserved for those people who remain neutral in a time of great moral crisis. And we're at moral crisis right now. But it's Jesus' church. He built it. He designed it. He set the specification. He is the beloved architect. Jesus' church is a loving church. It's a living church. Amen. It's not an organization. It's an organism, because it's a living church. It's a giving church. You don't have to squeeze people to give when they've been born again. They give automatically of their time, their talent, and their treasure, and they have a joy in giving. Amen. You don't have to twist their arm behind their back. It's a forgiving church. It's a praying church. It's a praising church. It's a preaching church. It's a saving church. It's a sacrificing church. Yes. It's a sheepfold. But Jesus is the shepherd who sleeps across the door to the sheepfold. Can't nothing get in to harm, and can't nothing get out. But don't misunderstand me. Sometimes you got to go through something, even in the sheepfold. And I'm glad we got to go through something, because it's the going through something that tempers us. I told you, I'm glad that I had to work them 14 years. Amen. Because my family needed to eat more than just hot dogs. Amen. 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 They can eat pork chops and steak. Amen. Because the Lord kept me working. I worked a lot of overtime. I was tired sometimes, but I did my duty because I was called to do it. Amen. I wasn't looking for luxury and relaxing. I was there to serve the Lord. 37 years, I'm still serving the Lord. Been preaching 40 years, I'm still serving the Lord. Amen. Because Jesus built the church, and that's the type of church I told the Lord I wanted to pastor. See, I found out that Christians are a lot like tea bags. If you don't put it in some hot water, you won't get no good tea. Sometimes we got to go through some hot water. And the hotter the water, the better. And the longer we stay in the hot water, the stronger we get. I'm finding out that. Amen. Sometimes the Lord seems like he keep me steeped in some hot water. Identify with the Lord and identify with him, saying this is his church and he's building it to look like him. It's spiritual, amen, and it has its foundation in him. It's his church. So far it is visible. It's built by Peter and the apostles as the foundation, but it's still the Lord's church. It's the local church. The local church is like a bank. Amen. The more you put in it, the greater the interest is. See, that's why some of your husbands and wives and children don't come to church, because you don't put no interest in your church. If you start putting something in your church, you'll get some interest from it. And people say, well, where did you learn that at? I learned it at church. Why is the Lord blessing you? Now you got two cars. I go to church. The Lord is blessing you, and this is when you're going back to school and finishing, got your education. I go to church. Yes, there's something to be found in the Lord's church. Now I found a lot of times people will leave the church and they come back when they get in trouble. And I got a problem with that. Come on back and sit in the balcony like you've been doing. Amen, because that's what y'all do. I don't mean to mess with y'all balconites up there. Amen, but you know, some of y'all don't want to come where the fire is. Y'all want to stay as far away from me as possible. I got that. Amen. See, you like to watch me on television, amen. You don't, That's all right. That's all right. At least you're in the house. Thank God that you're in the house. Amen. But we live in a time where we need the church. The church that Jesus built. We need to look like our picture. All of we have in our technology, we still need to look like the Lord would have us to look. He said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's the Lord's church. He is the shepherd and we are the sheep. He is the vine, we are the branches. He is the cornerstone, we are the stones of the building. He is the high priest, we are the kingdom of priests. He's the head of the many-membered body, and we are the body of Christ. He's the last Adam, we are the new creation. He is the bridegroom, and we are the bride, but we are the church of the living God. Yes, and there's the unity of the church. The Lord's remarkable intercession he makes for us, and he takes care of us. He prepares us. He lives in us through his word, his holy and inspired word. Study his word, read his word, meditate over his word. That's the only thing going to get you from earth to heaven. And everything that he promised in his word. I want to tell you a little story about Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe ran a barbershop, amen. And folk would be lined up Uncle Joe, because nobody could line you up like Uncle Joe. Nobody could cut your hair like Uncle Joe. And while they had other seats and other barbers in the barber shop, they would show up on Saturday, and you have to wait outside the door. It'd be so many people. But one of the things everybody loved about Uncle Joe is Uncle Joe would take everybody to church. Now, they could come in that barber shop dressed any kind of way they want to, but after Uncle Joe would get started cutting hair, he'd start to hum it. And that humming would break out into one of them old gospel tunes. One of the more Negro spirituals. And sometimes he would start to sing, and then he would quote scripture all the time, and he would tell these young boys in the barber shop all the different things that God had done for him. He would quote scripture. Somebody said, well, how come you didn't become a preacher? He said, no, God wanted me to be a barber. He said, I draw more people to this barber shop than some pastor draw to a church. Amen. He said, but y'all need to go to church. But he would talk to the kids, and he would talk to the people and all of his customers. But he loved the Lord. Now, he's up in age now, but every now and then somebody would ask him, how did you get saved? And what you want to ask Joe that for? Amen. Uncle Joe loved to tell the story of how he got saved. You see, when he was 11 years old, he was at home, and Mama said, I'm going to the grocery store, and you better not leave this house. Now, you know how it is when Mama says, you better not leave the house. You better not leave the house. Under any circumstances, you better not leave the house. Well, Joe was 11 years old, and he heard Mama say, don't leave the house, and he wanted something to eat, and he thought he would fry him some bologna. But to fry the bologna, he had put the pot in, and he put some oil on the stove, but he couldn't get the stove lit, and he went and got a book of matches, and as he was lighting the matches, the whole book caught on fire, and it burned his hand. He dropped it, got hold to a dish towel, and began to set the kitchen on fire. And in his 11-year-old mind, all he could hear his mama saying was, you better not leave this house. So he couldn't run out the door. So what he did in his 11-year-old mind is, I'll go down in the basement and hide from the fire. And that's what he did, not knowing you can't hide from no fire, you can't hide from no smoke. But he went down in the basement, and there he was down in the basement while the house was aflame burning up. Somebody had called the fire department, but he didn't know it. He was down there in the basement, and he didn't know what to do. And he seen the basement window, and it got him a chair. And he stood up on the chair, but he was a long way from reaching that window. So he looked around, and he found a stack of old newspapers that somebody had bundled up. And he put the newspapers on the chair and climbed up on the chair, but still, he was too short to get up there. Then he found some old blues albums. His daddy had, and he brought them blues albums and put them on top of those newspapers on top of the chair. Got up on that, but still couldn't reach it. And then he seen his brother had bundled up some Playboy magazines, and so he put them Playboy magazines on top of them blues albums, on top of those newspapers, on top of the chair, and climbed up on that, but still couldn't reach it. He started to cry because the smoke was coming in the room. And over in the corner, he seen Grandma's Bible. She had a great big old Bible. He went and got Grandma's Bible and came and put the Bible on top of the Playboy magazine, on top of the Plues album, on top of those newspapers, on top of the chair, and he got up on that Bible. And he tells a story, said, I know a lot of folks don't believe this, but as I was standing on that Bible, I began to cry and call out to the Lord and say, Lord, save me. I remember saying that, Lord, save me. And I don't know what happened or how it happened. All I know is while I had my hands, I started going higher and higher and higher. And the next thing I know, I was at the window. I opened up the window. I got out just as the fire department was pulling up. I know you don't believe my story, but it's my story and I'm sticking to it. The Lord saved me. He got me out the fire and he gave me his peace. He gave me his word to keep me out of hell's fire. So that's how I got saved. I put God's word on top of that Playboy magazine, on top of those blues albums, on top of the newspaper. I put it on top of all of that because you can take God's word over everything. Just stand on the word of God. He said, that's what I did. I stood up on the word of God. It's a miracle. I don't know how I reached that window, but the word of God took me higher and higher. I want to tell you that the word of God will take you higher. Just stand on the word. Stand on his word. He'll take you where you need to go. Just stand on the word of God. Just like it delivered me, he said, from that fire. He delivered me from hell's fire. I told the Lord, you get me out, I serve you. And I've been serving him ever since. I was born again that day while the fire trucks were trying to put the fire out. We lost a house, but I got my soul saved that day. Brothers and sisters, whatever it takes for you to get saved, get saved. But you got to do it in the church. The church that Jesus built. He built it just for you, that we might worship together, sing together, praise God together in his church. This is a church that Jesus built. Joe said, most importantly, I didn't know a lot about God, but I found out that he had already sent his son to die for me at Calvary's cross. And I've been telling everywhere I go, he's trying to get everybody in the barbershop saved. How he accepted Christ as his personal savior. Now he realized that Jesus died upon the cross just for him. And that's all I'm trying to tell you, that Jesus died for you. He loved you enough to give his life for you.
Yes.
They nailed Jesus to an old rugged cross. But he came for the purpose of dying for you. He who had no sin, had all of our sins laid upon him, and he died in our place. He took your place, he took my place, and died upon the cross. And they took him down from that cross and put him in a borrowed tomb, and he stayed there Friday and all day Saturday. But the record says it was early Sunday morning. He got up from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. And then when he came back to his disciples, he organized the church. He built the church. It's Jesus' church. Stand to your feet. Please, the door of the church is open.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.